We do appreciate each person that's here this morning. Do have a little bit better number today and got better weather today. As a matter of fact, it's been getting better all week. And this was just about, I thought, the perfect weekend. Kentucky won and Duke lost. It don't get any better than that. That's as good as it gets. Right, Connor? Okay. Amen. Got everybody, amen from everybody but Alan. He didn't. I know that you look at the board and you must think from time to time, he can put the strangest things on the board. Most of us would look at this thing that's on the board this morning and probably think that it doesn't have much to do with preaching the gospel. I believe that it does, because I'm taking this, as you heard Steve Lyons read a while ago, out of the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and it's about dry bones. And somebody says, well, what does that have to do with Christianity today and with the church today and our relationship with God today and beyond today, even into the future? And I think that it has so much to do with it. First of all, I'd like to tell you a little something about prophets. Ezekiel was a prophet. The book of Ezekiel, a whole lot of Ezekiel, reminds me a little bit of the book of Revelation. Some of it's a little hard to understand. And you see some of the images that God sent to Ezekiel for him to see. And you may think to yourselves, well, boy, I don't really get this. I don't really understand it. But when we get over to chapter 37, this is really, really an odd story. I thought about this one day this week. I was out looking for a new calf. Cow been bawling, and I looked for a new calf. And I got way over on the bluff around there next to Frida's place. And I found the dead bones, the dry bones of an old cow that had died several years ago. I'd seen this before, so it wasn't any shock to me. And I think all of you, and I don't want to be too graphic this morning, but I think all of you know that after an animal, a big animal anyway, has been dead for several years, that the bones kind of get scattered. And I noticed while I was looking for this calf, a baby calf just born, that there was the different parts of this skeleton of this cow. And the coyotes or dogs or something over the years have scattered it out, and there'll be pieces from here is scattered a place big as this church and parking lot out there. And you look at them and you think there wouldn't be any way that you could ever gather those bones back up and put them in the right position like these bones are in this picture that we've got on the screen this morning. Never put it back together for any a semblance of anything that was ever real. And that must have been the way that Ezekiel felt when God took him out to this place. I like to look at it, although Scripture doesn't really say this, I like to look at it as maybe where there had been a big battle that had taken place. A lot of people, soldiers, have got killed. Maybe sometime in the past. I don't know why there would have been all these there unless God caused it to happen just for this incident. But I want to read again. I want to read about 14 verses. It won't take me a couple minutes to read them. I'm going to go back and read what Steve read and then about another few verses. Here's what the King James Version says. And this is how it says it. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by round about them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry, and they were a long time. And he said unto me, that is God, said unto him, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. See, that's kind of the way that old song goes. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord God unto thee, bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And when I beheld, all the sinews and the flesh came up on them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. And then God said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophecy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. And then God said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. For when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord that has spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. Now that's 14 verses of that chapter. Now here's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, and I hope that this will come together where it means something to you.
We looked at something that's nothing but bones left and say, all hope is gone. It's a little bit different in the 11th chapter of John when we find Jesus there going to the grave or the tomb of Lazarus. They had told that his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, had asked that Jesus come earlier than this, and Jesus didn't go. And when Jesus finally did go, he'd been dead 4 days. Now, I'm going to say this to you, that after 4 days that a person's body doesn't look like this. It still has the muscle, that is the sinew, it still has the flesh. Now, it doesn't have the breath. But after 4 days, a human body will still have the look of a live body. You still recognize who that person was after 4 days. And when Jesus arrived at that tomb, they said, hey, you waited too long. Hope's all gone. He's dead. He's been dead 4 days. As a matter of fact, they said that he was stinking. The body had done already started deteriorating. I don't know what time of year it was, but after 4 days, I think we can all understand that. And yet Jesus, nothing was impossible for him. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. He came out of that grave. But God didn't have to put muscle and sinew back on him. He didn't have to call to the wind. But Jesus just restored that man's life. And there were people there, no doubt. Not only his sisters, but other people said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Now, I'd like for you to go back with me for a moment. And you imagine being sent to a place where the whole countryside is just scattered with dead, dry bones. And all these bones, there's 206 of them in a human body. We've got a couple of nurses in the audience and they know this. 206, and all of these bones, every one of them's got a name. And Steve, that old song says the hip bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone. Remember how that old song went? And every bone, the Bible says, went in its place. It went bone to bone, wherever that bone belonged. Now, if I'd have tried to gather the bones up from that old cow I saw the other day, first place, it wouldn't have been complete. But even if I gathered them up and made them complete, there wouldn't have been any way that I could have brought that cow back to life. There's no way that cow's gone and she's gone forever and her bones are scattered. Now, it must have looked that way to Ezekiel as he looked upon that scene and he saw bones scattered everywhere. He wouldn't have known. Had God told him to personally gather these bones and put them together, he couldn't even put the right people together. I want to suggest to you this morning that this area was so large that there were literally thousands and thousands of bones that were scattered everywhere. And as a human being, as a mortal person, I doubt that Elijah would have known how to put them all back together. And so God asked him this question, as we saw this morning. He said, is it possible that these bones can come back together and to live? Ezekiel. But Ezekiel says to him, he said, Lord, thou knowest. You're the only one that knows. I sure don't know. He didn't know anybody that knew. Only God knew whether or not that this was possible. And not only this, but God says to him, he says, prophesy. Now, that's kind of misunderstood in this generation. We talk about prophets in the days of old. The Old Testament's prophets and New Testament's preachers, and we think of them two separate entities, and they're really not. A lot of overlapping between prophets and preachers. We usually think of prophets as forecasters. That's what they did, it was forecasted. And we think of the prophets that God spoke to as saying, now you tell the people here's something that's going to happen. And there's many more incidents in the Old Testament about things that were current than there were about things that were to come. And so again, we ask the question among ourselves, what's that got to do with Mount Zion in the year 2014? And I think it's got an awful lot to do with it. First of all, we need to prophesy, we need to preach about not only things that are current, but things that are to come in the future. And I want you to notice what God did concerning these bones here. He brought the bones together. He put the flesh on them. He put the muscle on them. The sinews. And then he breathed breath in them and caused them to stand up. And they became living people again. It was people that certainly Ezekiel had never seen before. And no doubt there wasn't a single person. I don't know how long that they'd been dead. Neither did he. We don't know for what cause they were there then. I suggested a while ago it might have been where two armies clashed years and years before, and that's why those bones were there. But I don't know that. All I know is that there was an awful lot of dry bones that were there. And then God says to him, he said, prophesy upon these bones, and they're going to become living human beings. And after he gets through doing this, then he says to Ezekiel, he said, this is Israel. And what he's saying to him, Israel, at one time you lived, you were human beings, you were alive, you were doing the will of God, God loved you. But then something happened and you were dead, and there's nothing left of you but dry bones. And dry bones indicates they've been dead a long time. And they had been dead for a long time. And it was like asking Ezekiel, do you believe that God can bring this back to life again? Is it possible that God can do this? And he didn't know how to answer. He just simply said, only you know, God. I sure don't know. And here's what that I think that it has to do with the church today and why it's important for us. The church has got to go on. Alan's prayer this morning was so appropriate. He didn't know what I was going to preach on this morning, but he must have read my mind. Because his prayer was so appropriate this morning, we need to be thinking about not only the current state of the church here at Mount Zion, but the future of the church here at Mount Zion as well. And as Alan mentioned in the prayer this morning, that future is in our young people. I know that I've shared in times past with you that there's a church, there was a church over in Butler County. The name of the church was Shiloh. And I'm sorry to report to you that church is not there anymore. We could really name it the Church of Dry Bones. It's 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. The Lord is to be worshipped, the Lord is to be glorified and honored, and there's nobody there to open the door and let people in. There's nobody singing His praises this morning, there's nobody reading the Scripture, there's nobody offering a prayer, because it's dry bones. And I can remember many years ago when my father preached there, about 50 years ago, and it was a live, vibrant, excited organization of God's people, and there was singing, and there was honor, and there was glory, and there was goodwill. And it's now it's dry bones. What a sad, sad story. And that bothers me a lot, but what really bothers me more is that I know many other churches, not only in this area, but in other places that are well, whose numbers continue to diminish. And if they don't do something, they're going to be dry bones. That's prophesying. It's not only preaching that's prophesying. I'm not forecasting. I'm simply telling you what the Bible says. This is the reason why He showed Ezekiel these bones. Is it possible? Is it possible that we can be a live, vibrant body of people once again? When we pray, we better thank God when we get on our knees to pray for the good health of the church here at Mount Zion and pray for it to be that way for years to come. Can you imagine? I hate to suggest this, but can you imagine this morning that we've got young people in our audience that 50 years from now, that they come over the hill, up here at the top of the hill at McGinnis's, and come over the hill and they see an old rotten building falling down, and someone says to the other, "You know, I remember going to church there when I was a child. I remember when that was a singing church." Did you like the singing this morning? Everybody was singing. Boy, the singing was terrific this morning. I remember when that was a vibrant, live church. We went to church there. My mom and daddy went there. My grandpa went there and grandma. And I remember when people loved each other and that church was on fire and we baptized people. Now look at it. God forbid that this church is ever a church of dry bones. Parents, I want to encourage you this morning to encourage your children. Take part in Lads to Leaders. Take part in what's going on with our young people. How important that it is. Can it be possible that this is to ever happen? I wonder how many churches, and I know that I've shared this with you before, that Beverly and I visited in the last 3 or 4 years, and some of them we see the numbers that they're having aren't half what they were when the last time I held a meeting there, some 5 years ago, some 10 years ago. Some places we went, I don't know what their past history is, but they're not very strong. And I think in my mind, dry bones. We don't want that to happen to Mount Zion. What a responsibility that I have. What a responsibility that the elders of this congregation has, is to make sure that don't happen. Notice what God did. In verse 2, He said, "Ezekiel, first you behold." You look. That's what we need to do today, is behold. We need to look around us and see where we are. We need to look at where our numbers are. We need to look at where our contribution is. We need to look at what we're doing, the programs that we have for our young people. We need to behold, assess where we are. People do it in business. They do that in the military. They do it in every other walk of life. Why not the church? Behold, see where we are. The second thing that He said, that was in verse 4, He said, "Prophesy." And my friends, that's exactly what I'm doing to you here this morning. I'm prophesying to you. I may be preaching, but I'm prophesying. I'm not forecasting, I'm prophesying. Many of the prophecies that we find in the Old Testament were not just about things that are going to happen if. They were things that were current. Almost everything that the prophet Elijah did was current. It wasn't things to come, it was what's going on now. I'm prophesying to you now, but I'm also prophesying to you the future. It ought to be easy for each one of us to say what the current health of the church here at Mount Zion is and what the health is going to be in the future depending on what we do. This don't be a church of dry bones 10 years in the future or 50 years in the future. But let's be live, vibrant people, one that can worship God. And then the third thing that he said is perform. Did you notice that in verse 14? He said you got to perform. That's what God did. God performed. Now, we can do all the beholding that we want to. We can do all the prophesying that we want to. But if we don't perform, we'll be a church of dry bones sometime in the future. God forbid that that's to happen here at Mount Zion. It takes effort and performing on each one of our parts. I look at some of those congregations that I was talking about a few minutes ago. Just as a doctor can look at a skeleton, or just as a doctor can look at a dead person, and when a person dies, they do an autopsy sometimes. And a doctor, he can tell you what that person died of, what caused him to die. It always reminds me of the old song that Tennessee Ernie Ford had years ago, "If the right one don't get you, the left one will." You're going to die of something. They're going to put something on your death certificate. Now, none of us right now know what that's going to be. 2 years ago, Kelly, you heard this too. But a few years ago, the doctor told me concerning prostate trouble, he said, you'll probably die from something else. Brad, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. He said, that's not what's going to kill you. It'd be something else that kills you. But something's going to be on your death certificate. They're going to write something in there. What's it going to be? I pray that there's not a death certificate for Mount Zion until the Lord comes back again. But we have to ask the question this morning. Is why don't churches have life? Why are so many people tending toward dry bones? Let me give you a few of the excuses that I've heard over the years. Probably won't tell you anything new. I bet you've heard them too. But here's the autopsy from a lot of churches that I know, and why they're going downhill and why they're shrinking and why they're doomed for dry bones if something doesn't come along. Well, people just don't want to go to church anymore. People don't go to church like they did when I was growing up. You heard that one? Church is just not as popular as it once was. Used to, there wasn't any place to go but church. Everybody went to church. And now look at all the different things that society's got. Well, that's one of them. That don't help dry bones. And there's too many other interests that people have. Well, I tell you what, I don't think there's anybody that likes a good Kentucky ball game as much as I do, any more than I do. That could be argued. But you notice the last game that they had before yesterday, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Ellis Basham used to say, when somebody asked who made out their schedule, he said, the devil. You got to wonder. And so we have to make a decision. Now, am I going to church Wednesday night and be there at 7 o'clock, or I'm going to stay home and watch Kentucky? After all, they just play in the wintertime anyway. That's what causes dry bones. Tell you another thing causes dry bones. Church is boring. Oh, have I heard that? Church is boring. Who wants to go to church? I want to be entertained. I want a little fun out of this life. You got boring singing, you got boring prayer, boring Sunday school. That's the boringest preacher I ever heard. It just bores me to death. People won't go because it bores them to death. But it causes dry bones. See if you've heard this one. I'd go, but I tell you what, Mount Zion's got their part of shit. They've got their share of hypocrites. Nobody ever names them to me. I heard that, but nobody. I say, who's the hypocrite out there? I'd just rather not say. Nobody ever tells me who the hypocrites are. I know one thing, that causes dry bones. Here's another one. I've heard this one. Oh, I've heard this one over the years. Heard it when I was at Richardsville. I've heard it since I've been here at Mount Zion. I just don't like the way they do things at Mount Zion. Over here at this church, this is the way they do it. And I like that a lot better, but I notice they don't go there either. I just don't like the way they do things at Mount Zion. That causes dry bones. See if you've heard this one right here. I don't think that we're overly guilty here. Maybe we are, and I just don't realize it. Well, they're always hounding you for more money. Every time they pass the plate around, I always feel guilty. They make you feel guilty about the money. Well, that causes dry bones too for a lot of people. See if you've ever heard this one. Elders, keep your ears on. I'm talking to you now. Elders, they just don't ask for the input of the congregation. It seems like everything the elders is doing, they don't want nobody else to know about it. Oh, I've heard that criticism. I don't think we're guilty here at Mount Zion. We have business meetings. We ask for the input of the congregation, but sometimes people don't give it. But it causes dry bones. Here's one. I've heard this one quite a bit. Well, what are we paying the preacher for? I thought he's the one supposed to do the personal work. Preacher, we're paying you. You go to the hospital and see sick people. You go to the funeral home and see the dead people. You go to the nursing homes. You get out among the community. That's what we're paying you for. Hey, I've heard that one before too. Causes a lot of dry bones. People don't have the time. That's another. Some people say, well, I don't have the knowledge. I don't know how to talk to people about their souls. That causes dry bones. Lack of sufficient faith. You either got faith or you don't. Well, that's not what the Bible says. I can recall an occasion where Jesus' own disciples came to him and said, increase our faith. They didn't say they didn't have any. They just said they needed more. Maybe you're in that category this morning. I don't know what kind of work your faith needs on that. I know one thing, that it causes dry bones if you don't have it. You don't have what you ought to have. Well, here's a criticism. It causes dry bones. Well, they got all them cliques. Mount Zion's got their little cliques. Richardsville got their little cliques. Lehman Avenue got their little cliques. And if you ain't in your little clique, why? See, that causes dry bones. Forget about the cliques. Think about the church. Well, there's just not enough. Here's one. It's a big one. There's just not enough activities for the young people. Boy, is that true in so many places. I know a lot of churches that are going to be dry bones because this is a true statement. I know a lot of churches, you look and you see who's there and it's all older people. And I say, what happened to you young people? Well, we just didn't have enough young people to have anything. Mount Zion, that causes dry bones. We better think about our young people. I'm talking about from little bitty ones all the way on up. We don't want to be dry bones because of that. Thank you for saying that, Alan, in your prayer this morning. Here's one. Probably true. Well, the church just don't care enough about people that ain't Christians. Ought to care more. That's true. We should. I don't know of a single church. I've preached at I don't know how many different churches, a lot of them. And I suppose it could be said about every one of them that we don't care as much about sinners as we ought to. We ought to be more involved in trying to get people to come to church than what we are. And that's something that causes dry bones. And you know, the list can just go on and on and on. I just wrote down a few that I remembered right off the top of my head. And here's one that always really gets me. This causes dry bones. Causes churches to disobey the word. And that is, you know, Sunday morning, it's just so hard to get up and get everybody ready. Get there to church.
I work 5 days a week, and I got to get up. I get up early, and I have to be there. And Saturday, that's my day off, and, you know, I go fishing, or I go golfing, or I've got these other things that I need to do. And really, Sunday's on the day I got, and I like to sleep late on Sunday morning. I don't want to have to get up and go through the hassle. Is it too much to ask to just have some? Yes, it is. It's too much to ask if you want that day for yourself instead of the Lord. It causes you dry bones. Get up and get them kids ready. Wash your face, comb your hair, put on something decent. Come to church. It's the Lord's day. And if you're not doing that, you're causing dry bones. Be careful, they ain't yours. We're strong this morning. But I believe in it. God must believe in it for his sake. So I want you to come out here and behold these dry bones. Now prophesy on these dry bones. Now perform. I'm going to count time to perform. I don't want somebody to come over again. It's a deal up here. 25 years from now and say, I remember when that church was live, when it was operating, when it was going. That's a good place to go. Look at it now. Look at the bones laying out there now. Let's don't let that happen. Now we elders are committed that we're not going to let that happen in our lifetime. Let's train our children and our grandchildren up to where they don't let it happen either. Better not lay a single dry bone in this parking lot. Not one. Are you here this morning? Are you outside of Christ? Are you on the strife? If you're here, if there's something we can do for you this morning, I hope you'll come. That's all I'm saying. See you next time.